This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
These crimes were committed by law-abiding citizens.
They all have seen nightmare visions beforehand. The same pattern is repeating around the world, so there could be an overriding paranormal element.
Are you talking about magic? Then we have to find John Constantine.
Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, calling into this show this week from home anyway, along with Sharmila Ganesan. And in the studio, we have Arvind Yuvaraj. And today it's Wednesday, which means that we are going to be reviewing something new. And we are kind of doing that, mostly by focusing on the Justice League Dark 2 film collection. So one is new, Apocalypse War was released in 2020, while Justice League Dark, I believe,
2017.
Is 2017, thank you. So yeah, and we're doing this because our friends over at Astro currently have a sort of DC extravaganza going on, and we'll give you more details on that as you know we progress. But basically, there's a ton of movies, there's a ton of DC movies, children, adult, animated, live action, that you can watch right now on Astro. But like I said, we're going to be focusing on Justice League Dark. So we'll start with, I think, the original or the first installment in 2017, which was actually the 27th movie, I believe, in the whole DC Universe animated original movies.
Yes, and I will say that I'm actually returning to animated DC after a very, very, very long time. I don't think I've watched any of these since I was a kid, even though I'm familiar with the comics mythology. And I'll say that the first one, at least, Justice League Dark, is actually quite easy to slip into as long as you kind of have some familiarity or you do a bit of Wikipedia research and you're kind of aware. So you have the Justice League heroes, yeah? So you have your Batman, Superman, Flash, Wonder Woman, and then they're kind of joined by the Justice League, what's called Justice League Dark, the occult heroes, loosely called heroes. And these are like some of the best guys, man, like John Constantine and Zatanna, Black Orchid. Who am I leaving out?
Boston
Brand. Yeah.
Swamp Thing, yeah.
Yeah, Swamp Thing. And yeah, it's just a giant mashup of the both of them. And I loved it. I loved Justice League Dark.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when they say dark, they mean dark. It's like, it's actually a rated R DC animated feature, so it's not for kids. They swear a lot. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of blood. Lots of gore. And when I say a lot, I mean like, you know, where it's supposed to be. They don't overdo it. And also the themes are kind of gritty and kind of deep, and they explore a lot of interesting things. And it's based on some of the more adult graphic novels in DC's lineup. So really nice. I mean, this follows sort of, I think, the Constantine solo animated features. And it also comes in from some of the other Justice League animated features, like Justice League Doom, and there were a couple before that. So it's a long, long line of movies that have led to this. And this was one of the last ones before the next film that we talk about after the break, which is Apocalypse.
So I didn't realize what this was going to be. I wanted to go in relatively blind because, and I know that people can come for me, I don't care. I have not had the best experiences with DC movies. And so even though I knew by reputation that the animated movies were much better, better received, better liked by fans, I still thought, okay, just, you know, hold off on this a little bit. So I didn't know that Constantine was going to be one of the main characters.
Ah, and that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
What a nice surprise.
I was really happy. So, and this is something that the movie introduces pretty much in the opening credits, right? This idea that, yes, actually, John Constantine is going to be the linchpin for this whole thing. And so then I was like, all right, now I'm settling in.
No, and I love the I love that tension between the, I mean, yes, Superman and Wonder Woman have mystical, not really mystical, but powers, mm-hmm. but that contrast between the very straight laced, like, you know, magic isn't really something that solves anything, Justice League, and the Justice League Dark folks who are just like full on, like, you know, drawing up spells and, like, you know, really slaying it with their magic capabilities. I love that contrast. I especially love Batman and John Constantine sort of going at it. It's just a fun film. Fun in all the best ways, because it doesn't really minimize or downplay the depth of the story.
Yeah, it also doesn't minimize or downplay the characters. So just because this is a Justice League Dark film doesn't mean they sort of don't pay attention to the Justice League, because Batman is a main leading character in this movie. He's the one who follows, like, John Constantine around, and he's, like, trying to solve this mystery. He actually goes to get their help because there's a lot to do with, like, witchcraft and the occult and magic and stuff. And they never sort of ignore the fact that Batman is Batman. So in a lot of the scenes, he is being exactly who he is, in the sense that he says boo to Grim Reapers and they sort of like back off, like, whoa, you know, because that's such a Batman thing to do. I also love the fact that they don't hold back on the magic stuff, because they could have, you know, they could have played it safe. They could have been like, we're going to use a bit of magic. We're going to use a lot of the Justice League, because it is a Justice League film. There's a lot of magic, a lot of kooky, goofy DC stuff in this that you would normally see on the pages of a comic book. You wouldn't expect to see in a feature length. But when they say it's an animated film, they take full advantage of that animated part of it. And they're like, I don't know, just name it, like flying houses, you know, wizards, witches, all sorts of things.
I don't think we can actually say that much of the story without completely messing with the surprise and the fun of watching the film. But it does open with the fact that real life people in the real world are committing horrific crimes because they appear to be seeing supernatural things. And so I think it's from there that the Justice League realizes, oh, hey, we're out of our depth. And as they involve Justice League Dark, what you get, I think, is a lot of old tensions brewing. Because if you're familiar with the John Constantine character, not so much as played by Keanu Reeves, but as he appears in the comic books as this, you know, sort of northern working class magician, then I think you'll know that the guy makes enemies really, really easily. So he makes friends and enemies. And so the movie really plays with that and showcases, I think, old wounds, the idea that not everybody gets along. And it kind of subverts that superhero collecting aspect that a lot of superhero movies do, where along the way you pick each other up and it's like, oh, hey, we need someone now. Oh, yeah, there's that guy. In Justice League Dark, it's quite reluctant. Most of them don't get along with each other. They don't, at the face of it, necessarily want to be together, which is kind of nice. You know, it allows them to play off that chemistry.
And I think coming on the heels of something like Endgame, or, you know, Justice League, the movie, we can really see how, actually, in animation, somehow animation allows you to do this collective things without you feeling like it's too much. When you're not, for some reason, when it's not real actors playing certain roles, it's okay if they disappear off screen for a while, and you don't really think of them, much in the same way when you're reading a comic book, when they're not on the pages, you're not constantly trying to figure out where they are, why this doesn't make sense. It kind of works in a way that live action doesn't seem to work. And I'm sure we'll talk about this more when we talk about Apocalypse as well, because you can really see that there. Somehow, DC Ensemble seems to work so much better in these animated films.
Because they seem to understand the chemistry and the essence of these characters in the pages, and they're able to pluck that out and put it in these animated films, which is why I think so many fans have sort of argued for the people who write the comics to be executives or to be decision makers in the live action universe. Don't know how much that's going to happen, but the same way Marvel does it is that they get advice from the people who do the grand story arcs to come on board and then give them advice on how to make the live action films. DC doesn't do that as much, which is why you see the disconnect between the live action stuff and the animated features. The animated features are pretty much based on the comic book, whereas the live action seems to, they seem to forget that they are based on comic books.
I think it's also leaning into the outrage outrageousness of the character's powers, because you know, there again, this is more apparent in Apocalypse, which, like most sequels or developing of movies that build on other movies, it's a little bit extra bang boom wow, right? You know, it's like Justice League Dark on steroids. But nevertheless, you do, like we've been saying, they're magicians, they deal with the occult. There's a lot of really sort of extravagant powers that these people have, some of them quite funny, some of them quite strange. And I think live action makes it hard. For the longest time, people didn't think that something like Doctor Strange would work on screen, because you don't necessarily want to see somebody gesticulating and then stuff happens. But in an animated show or a movie, you get to really take that to, you get to stretch that beyond its logical breaking point that you would be okay with in a live action. And I think, again, that's what allows these animations to really fly.
And I think, for better or worse, you don't rely on the actor to bring the physicality to the role. You kind of develop the physicality because you're drawing them. You're drawing them exactly as they were in the comics. The voice actors bring a lot, but the voice actors are sort of contained within that vessel that's been created for them. And Justice League, the movie, for instance, a lot of the limitation is because I just don't think that the characterization and the acting really brought what fans wanted from those characters, whereas when it's animated, it's almost baked in already.
So we're talking today about the Justice League Dark 2-film collection, specifically Justice League Dark, which we've spent this half talking about. After this, we're going to be discussing Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. And we're doing that because essentially there are a lot of DC movies available to watch on Astro on demand right now. And also because there is a DC fandom event happening this weekend. So if you're a DC fan, lots going on for you. And yeah, you can watch things. We'll get to the full list later, but the point is, if you are interested, you can get the best of DC Heroes from Astro Channel 481 or the store on demand when you connect your PVR box to Wi-Fi. And for more info on that, you can visit astro.com.my/DC Heroes. If you'd like to talk to us about the DC animated universe in particular, get in touch. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Justice League. We are facing an existential threat to the planet. Our only option is to destroy Darkseid.
Bow before me.
A global war means everyone on the planet is at risk.
We can't quit. The Justice League doesn't quit.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And today we're talking about Justice League Dark, the 2-film collection. Earlier we spoke about the first. Now we're talking about Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War. And this, I think, is an extension of what we were discussing earlier, sort of roughly same host of characters, the people that we met in the first movie, and then expanded on to include the Justice League itself, Teen Titans, against
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad, thank you. Against a much, much, much bigger world and universe ending villain.
Darkseid, right? Who I don't know. I mean, he's the level of probably the big bad in the DC universe, and he keeps popping up again and again. So I think if you don't know DC, this is probably not the entry point to come in at, because there is a lot going on. You called it on steroids, Lynn, before the break. As I said, I haven't actually been following the animated movies. I have some awareness of the different characters in the mythology, but even I found this a little tough, and I had to sort of stop and do a little bit of Wikipediaing halfway through just to figure out how the Teen Titans fit in and who certain characters were and things like that. But once you kind of get up to speed, Apocalypse War is just, it's great. It's just, it moves along. You know, there's something happening at every scene. They do that classic thing where people like Superman and Wonder Woman are handicapped in some way or another, so that they're not going to just resolve everyone's issues. it's very, very cleverly built. And they really make a solid case for why Justice League Dark belongs in that film, which I love.
Yeah, I mean, this is the culmination of all the animated features. I think this is like the end, the book end of this line of books, or this chapter in their story. I think they might reboot it. They might go on to like different stories after this. But in some way, all the animated features that came before this, like Justice League Doom and Flashpoint, all connect to this one movie, which is Apocalypse War. And it is really like a big endgame level event in the animated universe. And we talk about adaptations a lot on this show, and whether things have been adapted properly from their source material. All the live action stuff from DC, I think at best they are like inspired by or loosely based on. They're not bad movies, but they don't adapt the way these animated films adapt. And I think if you want to look for proper adaptations, this is it. Like, it's these films, because they don't hold back, they don't pull punches on the powers, on the people, on the characters, on the character deaths, and all the weird things that they can do. And DC is a weird, weird universe. It's a very goofy, over-the-top sort of universe, which the live-action movies sort of skim down on, and they play safe, and they don't show you everything that's going on. This movie does like all of it on like so many different levels, so many characters that you wouldn't expect to pop up, so many characters that you wouldn't expect to die just die. And it's a lot of fun, but it is also, again, it lives up to that dark part of the Justice League Dark name.
So I would like to offer a pro and a con to the animated DC universe, and also to Justice League Dark Apocalypse War in particular. So firstly, I don't want to see a live action King Shark. You know what I mean? Like no. I never want to see that. But I really love watching animated King Shark as a shark. You know, yep. It's just an endless delight to me. It taps into that genuinely very powerful, but also super goofy kind of quality. It's like Aquaman, inherently goofy. Mm-hmm. The fact that we're trying to pretend it's not goofy is part of the problem. So that's one. The flip side of it for me, though, and I felt this in both movies, is that I think that the superhero problem of everyone becoming weightless and all deaths becoming meaningless if you're not part of the main squad. So everybody who dies in building collapses or in big world wars, literal world wars, they just mean a lot less. You don't see them. So I think that feeling of high stakesness, if you're not familiar with the stories at all from the comics or from other movies, it does mean that you are less invested in whether or not they're going to make it, you know? And that for me was a little bit of a problem watching Apocalypse War in particular. I enjoyed it. It's really lots of fun. And everybody, as always, the voice cast was on point. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. But I had that problem of feeling invested in it.
I agree. And especially because even within the movie, it's already signposting for you from fairly early on that a lot of these sort of intense deaths or changes or moments are probably not going to be permanent. Like, if you know how comic books work, if you know how certain characters' powers work, you're already anticipating, if there was this big death, well, they're probably not going to stay dead for very long. And that is, I think, a problem. I think a lot of my enjoyment of both of these, but actually particularly Apocalypse War, comes from the fact that I was just, every frame, I was constantly thinking of how much better this was than something like Justice League or even something like Batman versus Superman. And I think that did a lot for me, because it's been so long since I saw a good DC film on screen. I mean, Wonder Woman was a Wonder Woman film. It wasn't necessarily a DC film. Mm-hmm. Aquaman was kind of fun and all that, but not very memorable. None of the great ensemble DC films have actually been great. So I think for me, the joy was just seeing them come together. And also the subversion, you know, Batman, I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say that he's not really the hero that he has been when you're introduced to him. Superman doesn't have his powers. Wonder Woman is kind of persona non grata. It's a great starting point. It starts at such a great place where all of them are hobbled. The world is looking like there's no hope. and then there's John Constantine and the Suicide Squad. Like, what a great beginning.
I mean, who would expect, right? Like, at this point, at the end of their animated universe, that they depend on Justice League Dark. Because these are like these are like the C-grade, D-grade, sort of like E-grade guys. Not that Constantine isn't a good character. Like, a lot of people love him. I love him. But is that you normally wouldn't go to him as the go-to to save the universe. You know, you wouldn't go to him to join the Justice League. And it's so interesting that DC sort of picked Dark to be the final movie in their series. That's like saying Doctor Strange will be the final movie in Phase 4.
Or Guardians.
You know, it doesn't make sense, but it works so well. And that's what I love. It works so, so well.
So you can watch both these films as well as other DC heroes from Astro Channel 481 or the store on demand when you connect your PVR box to Wi-Fi. And again, for more information on that, you can visit astro.com.my/DC heroes. Now, before we close off, I did also just want to briefly touch on the other things that are available. So I think the usual suspects that you might think of, but there's also the DCU Superman triple feature. We've had some conversations this weekend about how we feel, or last weekend about how we feel about Superman. Does anyone want to bring that up?
Well, I am firmly of the opinion that nobody gets Superman right other than Christopher Reeves and maybe Dean Cain. Even these Justice League Dark films, when Superman is actually Superman, he's just really boring. So the triple feature might be a great place to kind of see whether that changes.
I mean, I know some people who like Man of Steel and bought the Man of Steel Blu-rays and stuff. I know there are people out there. They exist.
Are these people you, Arvin?
They might be. It might be. But yeah, the Superman thing, you're right. A lot of people haven't got him right. But that being said, the movies that we did speak about, not Justice League Dark, but Apocalypse War, is the closest, I think, they've come to getting him right on screen or outside of comic book pages.
I think complicating the goodness a little bit, you know, not caring so much about his intent. You can have really great intent. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work out. Yeah. And playing with that idea for Superman is really fun. Also, speaking of Superman and Martha, there's Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, but the Ultimate Edition, which I think has not been, was not shown in cinemas, has not been shown on television. So again, if you want to catch that, last time I'm going to say this before we close off, it's Astro Channel 481 for the Best of DC Heroes, or the store on demand when you connect your PVR box to Wi-Fi. And you can check out astro.com.my/DC heroes. But we've been spending today talking about Justice League Dark and the two film collection, the eponymous movie and then also Apocalypse War. If you'd like to weigh in on DC animations or these movies in particular, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my. And in the meantime, find us at BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. This has been Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.